Live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
As we cook off the weekend with Leroy Mark, who today is not with me. I'm not looking into his eyes. Leroy Mark, good evening and welcome.
Good evening. How are you?
You can hear the slight sadness in my voice there, but I'm very happy.
I can. It brings tears to mine eyes.
Look, what are we watching this week? One Life is How You Want to Start This. I think this is brilliant.
Oh, you know, I was so Anthony Hopkins has always been a favorite of mine.
Yeah.
And I just never knew if there was going to ever be a good Anthony Hopkins nostalgic movie to go back on. But this for me is one of the best ones. It's very nostalgic. So he plays the role of, it's based on a true life story where as a young man, his character goes over to Prague. This is right just before the war. This is when Nazi Germany and the Nazis are extending their power. And he sees these young Jewish children, right, that he helps out to escape the war. And now we're fast forwarding to about 50 years later where he's sitting in a BBC studio and is having these little back and forths about having done more or not doing enough for the kids when he had met them. And even then, this extensive deep dive into whether or not there was more you could have done for it. So for me, it's just a wonderful way of looking at, you know, we've had Schindler's List and other movies about the Holocaust, but this one has humanized in a different way, where we started looking at people in the periphery and say, how did they help to make sure that the atrocities of the time did not become even worse?
You know, you say that, and I was thinking, how many movies have we seen of the Holocaust, of World War II? I mean, at some point you think, have we not explored every single angle possible? And I definitely found this to be impactful. Even as I was thinking another one, I thought, well, Anthony Hopkins was just, for me, he stood out. And you know what I loved? I loved the fact that they didn't try and make him younger and more glossy. He is so phenomenal. He was incredible.
For me, I love that he was in his age. He was allowed to also be a bit frail. I think what Hollywood has done very much is for us to be very afraid of growing old. Mm. But what they did with him also is that some of the appeal is the fact he's so much older, right? Mm. And whenever I think of Anthony Hopkins, I always remember the book Tuesdays with Morty, I think it was.
Maori.
yes, you know, and for me, that kind of nostalgia, you know, of sitting back and listening to someone who's telling the deep intricacies of what they felt in the time with excruciating detail, it was very emotional for me. I had to stop a little bit and cast back because it's quite as, you know, deep. But also there's a story of triumph and, you know, the resilience of the human spirit, because here in this BBC studio, he is now confronted by some of the kids that he had rescued, and he has to almost pacify himself that he did the best that he could at the time and that he couldn't have done more. So it's a beautiful, beautiful story with Academy Award winning Anthony Hopkins, and there's also quite a few Academy Award nominees in the cast, like Alex Sharp and many others. So it was a fantastic, fantastic story.
Okay. Imaginary is your second pick.
Isn't that your favorite?
Mm-mm, you know that I don't like these movies.
I think I like this one. This is for Uncle Eddie in particular, because the story is complicated. It's not just a, you know, one-way thriller. I mean, there are some parts of it that's a bit weird. So Imaginary is a story from the guys who gave you Freddy's and Megan. Remember, we loved Megan as a horror because it was very different but quite gory. So we meet Jessica, who's come back home to stay in her family home because her father has been put in a care home because he's not mentally well. And so she's come back with her husband and their daughter Alice to look after the home and, you know, make sure everything is okay there. When Jennifer was younger, she used to have this teddy bear called Chauncey that was her imaginary friend, and they had a wonderful time, and it was great. But when her daughter Alice finds the same bear, things don't go as they planned, because it seems that the imagination is not actually left to the realm of imagination, but things become quite real. But the interesting part of the story is that there's a very subtle manipulation, because there's a neighbor who used to look after Jessica when she was younger and starts telling Jessica about some of the things that happened in her childhood that she has forgotten. And that helps them to be able to, without giving it too much away, rescue Alice from a little predicament that she finds herself in. It is a little bubblegummy. It is a little bit deep and long in the nose. But I really enjoyed that it was a different story from the eerie a doll, you know, the Chucky movies where this doll is animated and we don't know what happens. But this was, for me, a very fantastic one. So it is in theaters as of last week on March 8th and is streaming as of tomorrow.
You know I'm a scaredy cat. I'm going to miss.
I think you love it. I think you love the fact that it's just very complicated.
Okay. All right. I'll think about it and I'll let you know. Damsel.
So very much in trying to shock you this week. Yes. Damsel is an interesting story. But the one thing you'll find about Damsel is that if you're someone who, me and you are the same in this, Pamela, that we love the cinematics, right? We love to see a wonderful set and costume and makeup to really transport us into this world. You're not going to get any of that here. The CGI and green screen remind me of a Jennifer Lopez music video. It is thin.
It's very thin.
Very, very thin.
Yes.
So here the backstory is that there's this king who went on and slayed these three dragons. So you see where we're going here, hey? Yes. Game of Thrones.
Yes.
And by slaying these three dragons, the mother of these dragons is not very happy about this, and then says to the king that for as long as the dragon persists and lives, the king must bring three of his own daughters to the dragon as payment for the three dragons that have passed. If they don't, then every season the community and the kingdom will perish. So we get this damsel now who doesn't know that she's been sort of recruited to be offered to this dragon many, many centuries later. And she is, you know, put down into the lair, and she finds a way out, unlike many, many others before her. And the story chronicles how she escapes and finally puts an end to the dragon's very difficult reign. So it's interesting. It's a bit of Game of Thrones. If you overlook the very cheap, very, very cheap CGI, there's a wonderful story there about the human spirit.
Okay. So what would you rate it?
I'd give it a 6, because the story does a lot of heavy lifting, because the movie itself does not have much to put in. But from a story point of view, I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Then this one, American Society of Magical Negroes.
I found it to be just hilarious. I found it to be almost comical. So, you know, the Wayans brothers, and they've got that whole thing going on, White Chicks and many other movies. This one is something of a parody. So it's a satirical comedy about this guy who has magical powers. Imagine a Harry Potter. If Harry Potter was black and living in Atlanta or somewhere.
Wait. we have to, because people need to understand what actually is the funny. And for me, the funny is in American politics. I mean, I'm sorry, because we that's what we do on the show. So I think it's hilarious how the reality of how we see, or not we, how African Americans see their white counterparts, and how they've decided to make fun of how ridiculous it is to be black in America. I think it's hilarious. Do you think white Americans are going to appreciate this?
I think it will give them a very weird look at themselves, because if we remember the fact that we have Karens and Nigels, and how that thing has just become so. I mean, if your name is Karen right now, it's almost unfortunate.
I actually heard somebody on the radio yesterday whose name is Karen, and when the presenter said, "Hi, Karen," she says, "No, it's Karen."
Yeah, please, because you can't be a Karen. You can be a Karen, but not a Karen.
Yes.
So the wonderful thing about the story is that, as you say very well, the whole point of having this magic bestowed on this community, right, the society of these magical Negroes, is that they're there to make sure that white people are always sort of comfortable. We need to make sure that white people are always comfortable, because when white people are uncomfortable, things tend to go very wrong. And so there's this wonderful graphic of this sort of like white people happiness o-meter that travels around. And these, magical members of the society then go around making sure that their assigned white person never is uncomfortable. It's absolutely hilarious because it's also sort of snapshots real life American experiences with white people. You know how the police, when you're pulled up by the police, you don't know how that's going to end. Mm-hmm. When they are in spaces where they're uncomfortable, allegedly, things don't go well for black people. So we want to make sure we avoid it by all costs. It's such a very, very plastic and very satirical way of looking at modern day America, especially in light of a looming Donald Trump presidency round two. So I loved it because of that. It was just really, really funny. And also it took itself so not seriously. And it's in theaters as of tomorrow. But if you want to watch something like this weekend, I definitely recommend the American Society of Magical Negroes.
Okay, so have you watched Tracking Tabo Bester? Tell us now the truth. Have you watched it?
No, I haven't. So they've been very, very.
So have you been? You have not been able to crack that and like sort of get the intel.
I've been trying so hard. I use every single card I have. One of my associates inside Showmax says they have a huge embargo on it, that there's not even like a side screening for it. Like, you have to be in the upper echelons. I thought I was in the circle.
I thought so. That's why I was asking. I thought, you must have seen it with a screening special.
So the trailer got sent to me quite early on. And so I've been waiting for it. Because I also wanted to make sure that I preview it when it can come out, because it's coming out tomorrow. But the wonderful thing about this is that it has some very interesting South African voices who are now talking about how we got to this point where now they're sensibly in the courtroom. But what is so crazy for me that they remind us even in the trailer that, remember that one trip they took to the supermarket is where everything went awry. It took one pixelated picture from the camera phone.
With a Mercedes Benz they had hired or something?
Yes. And it was so wild because we sit there and we were like, this is the story from, this is exactly what documentaries are made of. And I think what's going to happen is that it's going to come out in more than just these six parts that's coming in now. So there will be six parts to this. It's not one sort of, 90 minute. So there'll be lots of unveiled. I suspect there'll be a season two once we get to sentencing, if they ever get to that point, or acquittal, whichever comes. No one knows. It is so embargoed. So at midnight today, I am in the next 3 hours and 2 minutes.
Oh,
I will be watching.
You're not sleeping. You're waiting for this one.
I'm going to put it up on Twitter with the link to say, listen, this is what you need to look out for. Because for me, I think this is the most topical of, next to Rosemary and Ndlovu, think Tracking Tabo Bester is going to be the most riveting thing to watch this year.
Did you notice that they spoke about you and me on Rosemary and Ndlovu's film?
Did they?
Yes, of course they did.
Go
back.
Did she?
Go back. Watch again.
Yeah?
Watch again. As the film starts, go back and watch.
Oh my word! I'm a little worried because
you miss it?
I don't know where my old ID is, and I might have a life cover in my name without knowing. So I'm a little stressed.
Go back and watch. I mean, it's all of 3 seconds, but we do feature somehow there. So So I hope it makes you feel better.
No, I really do too. But I think Tracking Tabo Bester is going to eclipse Rosemary by a margin. I think Tabo is going to... And I love also that they did not focus too much on Nandipa and the title, because it's very easy for us to scapegoat using Nandipa as the accomplice. I like that it was almost true to who the main protagonist is.
I don't know. I think it's too early to call it Well, let's wait for the call. I don't know. Maybe there's part two. Maybe there's an Antipa story coming.
I'm hoping for a part two, personally.
Maybe. Leroy, get better. See you next week.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.